depending on how one views the calendar, the winter solstice happens at a moment in time between December 21st and December 22nd each year. It happens at the moment in the Earth's orbit around the sun when the Earth's axis is tilted farthest away from the sun. That translates for us into what is marked on our calendars the shortest day, the longest night of the year. This year, this winter solstice, the day is estimated to be 9 hours and 8 seconds long. Sunrise will be just a few minutes after 8, sunset just a few minutes after 5. 9 hours and 8 seconds of light, leaving then 14 hours, 59 minutes, and 52 seconds of dark. No other day will have such little light and such long darkness. But here's the thing. The calendar day marks the change. It's hard for us to fully recognize that. We understand that even after December 21st, there's still a lot of winter left. In fact, really, in the context of where we live, the worst of the winter is still yet to come. There's a lot of still going to work in the dark and coming home in it as well. But this winter solstice day marks the change. It's the transition, if you will, from this day now moving forward, whether we see it immediately or not, whether we fully recognize it immediately or not, the day is getting longer, the nights are getting shorter, the light is increasing and the darkness diminishing. So, the winter solstice, December 21st, the day is 9 hours and 8 seconds long. The day after, December 22nd, the day will be 9 hours and 12 seconds long. Do you understand? The progress might be slow. 4 seconds is not much. But the long nights and short days have come to an end. And now it's the other way. The days are getting longer, even if just by 4 seconds. And the nights, the darkness is getting shorter and less. One writes this: spiritually speaking, we long for a winter solstice type moment in our life. We're going through times of trouble. When we're going through times of darkness, we want to reach a point when we see more light than darkness in each day, when the darkness of discouragement gives way to the light of joy and hope as the sun arises anew in our life. The encouragement then that's given, until that light appears, we can use the darkness as a time to meditate and reflect on the unchanging character and nature of God. While darkness may affect how we see Him, darkness does not change Him. Aren't you glad for that? The song says it this way: the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. And we could think of it in the context of our message this morning. The God, your God, our God in the light is still God in the dark. It's true, isn't it? We long for that solstice moment when the darkness of life, of our lives, begins to give way, even if just by a little bit. The darkness begins to give way to the light. Rather than darker and darker, things just going from bad to worse, the change has come and the corner has been turned, if you will. The light has come and begun to overtake the darkness. I believe that really that's the message of Christmas. And I prayed this morning that all of us would hear loud and clear. Listen to me, dear brother, dear sister. Hear that message this morning. Know that message this morning. Receive that message. That's the joy and peace. That's the hope that Christmas brings. Immediately see it or not. Immediately recognize it or not. The change has come. The corner has been turned because the light has come. Experience the joy then. Know the peace and the hope that comes from that, that comes from the light. John doesn't really tell the story of Jesus' birth like the other gospel writers do. There's no mention of angelic visits to Joseph and to Mary. There's really no mention even of Joseph and Mary. No shepherds keeping watch of their flock at night. No Bethlehem manger. No star in the sky. No wise men visiting. Rather, John, he writes of Jesus' entrance into the world this way. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. Verse 4, in him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, even though the darkness hasn't understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. Now, John's simple account of the Christmas story, verse 9, the true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. Verse 12, and to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. The conclusion, again, John's simple perspective, his simple account related to the birth of the Lord. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. Jesus himself will later expound on John's description in John chapter 8 and verse 12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Once more this morning, as we consider the Christmas season, we reflect on the real reason for it. Last Sunday, it was that a gift has been given. Jesus. God's indescribable gift given to you and to me, given to us. And this morning, it's that the light has come. Jesus, the light of the world. He is why we celebrate. He, that he has come, that the light has come is the reason this really is the most wonderful time of the year. The light has come, and we who follow the light, who live in the light, we never again have to walk in darkness. Do you understand? Listen to me, dear church. Listen to me, dear brother and sister, whose life might be defined by some darkness today. The solstice moment has come. It came some 2,000 years ago. The light has come, and the darkness has to give way to it. I think of that related to the darkness of our sin. We're reminded of this in Romans. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, for everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. That's true. We're all sinners. We've all fallen short. But the great message of Christmas, the light has come. And the thought concludes in Romans 3, everyone sinned. We all fall short. Yet God, with undeserved kindness, declares that we are righteous. He did it through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sins. In Ephesians, it's expressed this way. In Ephesians 2 and verse 1, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who's now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature, following its desires, following its thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. Oh, for all of us, Every single one of us this morning know it to be true. It was darkness. It was the darkness of sin. It was the darkness of death and disobedience. It was the darkness of God's wrath on you and on me, on all humanity. Oh, but the light has come. And now it's this, Ephesians 2 and verse 4. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It's by grace you've been saved. God raised us up with Christ, seated us with him in the heavenly realms, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Do you understand? The darkness of wrath is no more because the light has come. And we're seated now with Christ. And we're the recipients of God's rich grace, his incomparable kindness. It's by grace you've been saved through faith. This not from yourselves, it's the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it's just the truth that we read, do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were guilty outside the kingdom, having no part in the kingdom, having no inheritance in it. Oh, but then the light has come. And now, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 11, you've been washed, you've been sanctified and justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. In Titus 3, at one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. Don't you just love how the Bible talks about you? Bunch of evil, swindling, conniving, immoral, bunch of heathens that all of us are and were. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the time came for the light to come, when the time came for the kindness and love of God, our Savior, to appear, then he saved us. Not because we were good enough to be saved, but because of his kindness and pity by washing away our sins and giving us the new joy of the indwelling Spirit, whom he poured out upon us with wonderful fullness, and all because of what Jesus Christ, our Savior, did. The light has come. The kindness and the love of God, our Savior, has appeared. And though still not good enough, never good enough, he saves us and gives us the joy of his Spirit, whom we have in wonderful fullness. Again, it's the Christmas story. This is how the birth of Jesus came about. His mother Mary pledged to marry Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man, didn't want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And she will give birth to a son. And you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. The light has come, and with it, salvation from the darkness of sin. More even still, not just the salvation, but as well freedom from the darkness of our slavery to sin. The light has come. Listen to me, dear brother. Listen to me, sister. This is the truth this morning. The darkness of sin has lost its grip on you. Yes, it has. Listen to me this morning. No, the temptation is not too strong. That's not true. No, it's not too powerful for you to resist. No, that's not true. No, it's not true that you just can't help it. I just can't help talking like that. I just can't help talking about people like that. I just can't help the greed. I just can't help the meanness. I just can't help the anger. I just can't help the lust. No, that's not true. No, it's not true that there's always been that sin in your family. No, it's not a curse you can't overcome. Well, Pastor, you don't understand. My dad was like this. My grandpa was like this. My great-grandpa. All I've ever known was that. No, that's not true. No, it's not true that the devil's just too big and too much. Listen to me. It's not true he made you do it. You have to understand this morning. The light has come. The devil can't make you do anything. He has no power over you. The light has come and you have been set free. No, you don't have to live in depression. No, you don't have to live in worry. No, you don't have to live in condemnation, because the light has come and set you free from it all. In Romans chapter 6, we died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? We were buried with him through baptism, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father. We too may live a new life now, for we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died in Christ has been freed from sin. Count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God. Therefore, don't let sin reign in your body so that you obey its evil desire. Don't offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. Offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness, for sin shall not be your master. Thanks be to God. You used to be slaves to sin. You obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. You've been set free from sin. Become slaves to righteousness. And just as you used to offer the parts of your body slavery to impurity, to ever-increasing wickedness, so offer them now in slavery to righteousness, leading to holiness. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. And what benefit did you reap at that time from the things you're now ashamed of? Those things resulted in death. But now, you've been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, and the benefit you reap leads to holiness. Ephesians chapter 5, you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness. Why would you, after all? Why would you have anything to do with the dark when the light has come and saved you and set you free from it? 1 Peter chapter 2, he himself bore our sins in his body so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. Our verse in chapter 8, really the full context, verse 1 of John 8, Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. At dawn, he appeared in the temple courts where all the people gathered around him, and he sat down to teach them. Then the teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law of Moses, we're commanded to stone such women. Now what do you say?" They were using the question as a trap. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "If any one of you is without sin, let him be the first to throw a stone at her." Again, he stooped down and wrote in the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left with the woman still standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir." "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Go now and leave your life of sin." And then Jesus spoke again to the people, "I am the light of the world. whoever lives in me, whoever follows after me, will never have to live in darkness again. Listen, the light has come. And because it has, we can be safe from the darkness of our sin. Though guilty, we stand condemned no longer. Oh, aren't you glad the light has come? Aren't you glad to spend the season celebrating that the light has come? We were dead in our transgressions and sin. We were the object of God's wrath, destined for God's wrath, even in eternity in hell. The wicked don't inherit the kingdom of God. And oh, how wicked we were. We were foolish and disobedient and deceived and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures and filled with malice and envy and hating and being hated. Oh, but the light has come, and now we've been made alive. We've been saved by His grace. Objects of wrath? No, not anymore, because the light has come. We get the extravagance of His grace and the richness of His kindness. We might have been wicked before, but the light has come. And now we stand before Him, washed, purified, sanctified, justified. Oh, aren't you glad the light has come? And that, all that, and yet still this, the light has come and we have been set free. Sin has lost its grip on us. We are slaves no more to it. We once lived to gratify the desires of the sinful nature, but we don't live that way anymore. We're a new creation. We're children of the light. We live by the Spirit now. We can go now and leave our lives of sin. The light has come, and we are now more than conquerors. And listen to me, no weapon of Satan, sin, or darkness can prosper against you. The light's come, saved us, set us free from the darkness of our sin. How about still more? The light has come and delivered us from the darkness of our trouble. That's sometimes how we would define and describe how we would think of our struggle, isn't it? When there's joy and happiness and contentment, when everything's right and good and as it should be. The cashier gave us the extra discount. We didn't even have the coupon. The front row parking space became available for us just as we pulled up. The work is good. The boss is treating us right. Everyone else is as well. The bills are paid. Everyone's getting along. The aches and pains have subsided. The doctor evidently knew what he was doing. The medicine is working. That's not the darkness. That's sort of the picture. Sun's out, birds singing, flowers blooming. Life couldn't be any better as we skip our merry way through it. The darkness, it's everything that's not that. We're getting nothing. Nothing is good. No one's treating us right. The bills aren't paid. The stack of them, in fact, getting higher and higher. Everyone's fighting. Everything is wrong. No one can help. No one seems to have the answer. We feel all alone, facing an obstacle that's impossible for us. That's the trouble. That's the darkness. It's a darkness that seems to settle over us because of sickness, because of pain, pain that just won't stop, just won't go away. It's a darkness that comes because of sorrow. This is true, and all of us would recognize this, though still the best time of the year, this is difficult for so many. The celebration, the joy of it all, even in the midst of all that, we can't help but think of loved ones that are missing, not with us anymore, to enjoy the celebration, to share in the joy. Sickness, especially the prolonged kind, sorrow, they make a darkness, a gloominess to settle over us. Even every other thing in life seems darkened by the darkness of our trouble. It's a darkness that comes by way of turmoil, inside, outside, the unsettling of all that's around us, the unsettling that we feel within. It's a darkness that comes because of hurt, because of betrayal, because of a relational disturbance. and on and on and on the list could go. Simply put, listen, you know this is true. The darkness comes by whatever the trouble that has come to you. Whatever troubles you, we could make our list. We could try to cover it all, but better maybe to just simplify it this way. Whatever troubles you has likely brought a darkness with it, made there to be a darkness that has settled over you because of it. But I would remind you this morning, listen to me, the solstice moment has come. The light has come for your sickness, for the hurt, for the pain, for your brokenness, for everything that's been broken within you, the broken heart, the broken relationship. Oh, isn't it true? Come on, church, we believe it's true. We believe it because the Bible says it, that He is the God who heals us. We believe that this morning. We stand on that this morning. For your need, for your lack, for the financial burden, for the need for an answer when you can't find the answer. For whatever your need is. If you've been in the church long enough, we used to sing it. Come on, you know it's true. Jehovah Jireh, He is our provider. Listen, the light has come. You might not see it yet. There might be a 4-second difference in this day for you and tomorrow for you. But you have to understand, the light has come. Your healer has come. Your provider has come. Your deliverer has come. Your comforter has come. For whatever troubles you that has brought darkness to settle over you, the light has come to deliver you from that darkness. When the turmoil, when the trouble brings that, you need to remember this morning. You need to remember then that the light has come. And for the turmoil and for the trouble, the light is your peace, even in the midst of the darkness. He'll give you peace that makes no sense. He'll give you a peace that passes all understanding. The light has come. And the light gives you, Jesus gives you a reason, despite the turmoil, despite the trouble, despite the darkness, the light gives you reason, empowers you even to rejoice in the Lord always. And unless you didn't hear, I'll say it again. Rejoice, rejoice, rejoice in the Lord. The light has come. When betrayed and feeling all alone, hear the message of Christmas this morning. The light has come. And in the light, in Him, in Jesus, who is the light, you have a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Do you understand this morning? In Him is life, and that life is the light, and that life brings deliverance from the trouble. He's the light of the world, and whoever receives Him, whoever receives the light, whoever follows Him, whoever walks in the light, come on, you read it from John just as I do, they don't have to walk in darkness ever again. Even the darkness that the trouble would bring. Is your heart, is your life troubled this morning? I pray that you remember. I pray that you receive the message of Christmas, the light has come. I pray that this morning that you would let the light do a work in you to deliver you today from the darkness of your trouble today. Darkness, we would think of it as a place of depression and discouragement, frustration, worry and anxiousness. We would think of it as a gloominess that affects everything. Isn't that true? So often, one thing goes wrong. You can have 100 things go right, but the one thing messes everything else up. The darkness that comes by way of the one trouble even overshadows everything else. We would think of darkness as a prison that confines us. Psalm 107 Some sat in darkness and the deepest gloom. Prisoners suffering in iron chains. They stumbled and there was no one to help. But then they cried to the Lord. And in their trouble, he saved them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness. Of course he did. He's the light after all. This is what the light does. He delivers the psalmist. He delivers you. He delivers me out of the darkness and out of the trouble. He's the light of the world after all. Yes, he does that. Of course he does that. He brought them out of darkness and the deepest gloom and broke away their chains. Listen, the light will set you free from the darkness. I don't know what darkness your trouble has brought you, but the light will come and set you free from it all today. The light will break every chain of your deepest gloom. Do you believe that this morning? Are you willing to let him do that in you this morning? Willing to let him do that for you today? In Psalm 18, you, O Lord, keep my lamp burning. My God turns my darkness into light. Oh, church, I can't help but believe it, that God wants to turn some darkness to light in this place today. Are you ready for that? Are you ready this morning for the light to shine on you? Do you have faith again to believe that the light can turn your darkness into light? Your troubles don't have to imprison you in darkness. No, but because of the light, you can live in hope. One author writes, no day is accidental or incidental. No acts are random or wasted. Look at Jesus' birth in Bethlehem. A king ordered a census. Joseph was forced to travel. Mary, round as a ladybug, bounced on a donkey's back. The hotel was full. The hour was late. The event was one big hassle. Yet out of the hassle, hope was born. The light came. The author continues, I don't like castles, but I love Christmas because it reminds us of the heart-shaping promises of Christmas. Long after the guests have left and the carolers have gone home and the lights have come down, the promise endures. Out of the hassle can come hope because the light has come and he causes everything to work together for the good of those who love him and walk with him. Simply put, when everything around you is not good, you can have the faith, you can have the confidence, you can have the trust, you can have the hope that he is working it all for good. You don't have to walk in darkness then. You can walk in that. You can walk in the hope of that. You can walk in the light of that. This Christmas, there will be an astronomical phenomenon. Jupiter and Saturn will come into such close alignment that they will appear in the sky to be a unit, one thing. The two will appear to be one, and they will light up the night sky because of it. Some argue, some believe that it could have been something just like what we will see, that the Magi saw and followed to find Jesus. The phenomenon, this light in the sky, it'll be the clearest, the most visible on the night of, you guessed it, the winter solstice. When the day is shortest, and the night is longest, this light in the sky will shine the brightest. One writes, in the year when Jesus was born, there was violence, chaos, political and social unrest. It was dark. Yet in this time of darkness, the Magi found Jesus by way of the star. In this time of darkness, the violence of Roman rule, the chaos and political and social unrest throughout all of Israel and even in the world, in this time, in a world that was most dark, the light came, stepped into the chaos and the darkness, and brought life. Fast forward to this year, 2020, not much has changed. As it was then, it is today, a time of violence, chaos, political and social unrest. It's dark. How fitting that once again, there will be a light in the sky. In our day of darkness, the reminder, even when things are the darkest for us in our lives, the comfort that comes from knowing the light has come. He is here. He stepped into our chaos and he has brought light. He gives hope. He restores joy and peace, and he makes all things new. The light has come. Saved us and set us free from the darkness of our sin, delivered us from the darkness of our trouble, and finally this morning, he's rescued us from the darkness of death. I know it's more of an Easter message, the death of Jesus, his resurrection that reminds us of life that we will have and can have in him. But I would just remind you today that the baby that was born reminds us that we will ever live. He is the victor over death and the grave. And because he is, so then are we. Victors over death, we don't die, we live. Victors over the grave, it's not our final resting place. No, he instead prepares a place for us with him. John chapter 3, for God so loved the world, you know he did, that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. In Romans, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. The light has come, and that light is life. He is the light of the world. And whoever follows him will never walk in darkness. Not the darkness of sin. The light saves us and sets us free from that. Not the darkness of trouble. The light delivers us from all our trouble. Not the darkness even of death. Because the light rescues us and grants to us life, abundant life, even eternal life. One writes in Matthew 1, God called himself Emmanuel, which means God with us. Not just God made us, not just God thinks about us, not just God above us, but God with us. God where we are. He breathed our air, walked this earth. God with us. And Bethlehem was just the beginning. Jesus has promised a repeat performance. Bethlehem, Act 2. No silent night this time, however. The skies will open. Come on now, the trumpet will blast, and a new kingdom will begin. He will empty the tombs and melt the winter of death. Death, you die. Life, you reign. It's true. Because the light has come, and that light is the life. This Christmas season, this wonderful time of the year, whether you can see it completely, whether you recognize it fully, know this. Listen to me, I pray that you would receive this today. The message of Bethlehem's manger, the light has come. And let every thought then of the season remind you and speak to you and reaffirm to you in him, in the light. I don't ever have to walk in darkness. I've been saved and set free from my sin. Oh, worship him because you have. Celebrate the season because you understand what it means. You've been saved. You've been set free from your sin. You've been delivered from all the trouble. You might not see it today. You might not see it for a few days to come. We're nearing the end of the year. You might not even see it this year. But no, the solstice moment has happened. The light has come and your deliverance promise, because the light delivers you from the darkness of your trouble. You've been rescued from death. You've been rescued from death. As we'll spend some time, no doubt, remembering our loved ones who have died in the Lord, we remember they don't die because they lived in the light. They live. And the grave is not their home. No, instead, they have an eternal place in the presence of God, because the light has come. Father, today and for still the couple weeks to come and beyond the Christmas day and into the new year, oh, may it ever be in our hearts and in our minds, the realization, the recognition, all that it means to us, the light has come. May this be a season of celebration because the light has come. May our lives be marked by a difference no matter the darkness of the world around us. The light has come. We live in the light. We celebrate the light. Thank you, Jesus, that you, the light, saves us and sets us free from our sin. Oh, I pray that reminder today for my brother, for my sister that needs to know that. That God, there is forgiveness with you. There's mercy. There's grace. There's extravagant kindness that you show. Yes, we were guilty. Yes, we were a mess. Yes, we've done wrong. Yes, we've said wrong. But the light has come. And the light saves us and sets us free from the darkness of sin. God, I pray for my brother and my sister today going through some trouble. Oh, Jesus, would you be the light that delivers them from the darkness of their trouble today? I just pray it through this room. I don't even know the trouble, but my guess would be the trouble has brought some darkness. Be the light that delivers from that. Lord, we thank you for life that is ours right now. Abundant life. Eternal life that will one day be ours. Today, this Christmas season, we celebrate because the light has come. We thank you for that, Lord. Let me encourage you in one last thought this morning. Jesus, he is the light of the world. And the light has come. And now may it be that you and I would go out into this very dark world of ours and be his light to all that we would encounter, to all that we would see and have opportunity to dialogue with. I pray that you would do that. In the words of the old Sunday school song, I'm gonna let my light shine. And I pray that you would do the same. The light has come, after all. Why would we go and shine his light wherever we find ourselves? I pray that all of us have opportunity to do that this week and to let somebody still living in the darkness know, oh, but that the light has come. The light has come. And I pray the blessing of the Lord over you. Would you stand this morning to receive that? Would you extend your hands today to receive the blessing of the Lord? I pray it over you. I declare it over you. I speak it into your life today. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious and good to you. The Lord turn to you and give to you his peace. In Jesus' name, would you receive that by saying amen? Receive the blessing of the Lord today. Amen.